This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
Love of the dunya, beautified for mankind, is love of the joys that come from women and offspring, and stored up heaps of gold and silver, and horses branded with their mark, and cattle and land. That is comfort of the life of the world. Allah with him is a more excellent abode.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of Purification of the Soul.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm your host, Abu Abdus Salam, and we have with us in the studios Gulraz, Kareen, and Muhammad. Now, in the last couple of episodes, we were talking about wealth and the love of this world. We mentioned certain matters containing to wealth. Recapping on that, is wealth something that is despised, something censured in the Sharia?
No, it's something, it's material resource that can be used either for the obedience of Allah or his disobedience.
Yes, so the summary of that discussion was that wealth is something that can be used for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also for the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's like a matchstick. What was the relevance there?
That on its own, it can bring benefit to you. However, if you light it up, the flame may hurt you.
Yeah, or if you light it up, it can bring benefit to you as well for cooking and these kind of things. But at the same time, it can bring harm against you if you light it and burn yourself with that. So this is the summary of wealth. We spoke about some of the good characteristics of wealth, some of the praiseworthy characteristics of wealth, some of the things we can do with wealth that is praiseworthy.
For instance, we can build masajid, things that can benefit the people.
What else, I mean?
You can spend it in charity, for jihad, or for
doing hajj.
And safeguarding the honor of Islam.
And many other things that if a person has this intention, and even to feed his family, and to avoid, to refrain from begging, from relying on other people, to be independent, then this is also a praiseworthy reason to acquire money, as we said.
I think in the current era, money is a weapon, is an international mass destruction weapon, because the threats against Islam right now is an economic one.
Yeah, so you could look at it from that angle, and this is exactly what Sufyan, rahimahullah, he said, that money in our time, or wealth in this time, is a weapon. It can be used against us, or it can also be used in our favor. Also, there are harms of wealth, or of this materialistic world.
It can be used. The wealth can be used to carry out haram acts, like spending it for, as well mentioned, for drugs, or spend on haram, like attending brothels.
Yeah,
casinos, gambling.
And so it often leads to disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He may become attached to that which is halal.
Yeah, so something lawful.
But he may become obsessed with it.
Addicted.
And it may lead him away from the remembrance of Allah. It may lead him away from fulfilling
and
his obligations.
Yeah, it leads away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It makes him cling too much to the pleasures of life that he sometimes forget about the afterlife and al-Jannah.
So these are some of the points that we discussed in the last episode regarding wealth. And as we mentioned earlier, it wasn't wealth itself that is censured or that is blameworthy. It is about the way a person acts with respect to wealth, the way he behaves, his behavior towards the wealth. Now, to have an extreme greed or an eagerness for wealth, and for the dunya, for this life, and to have an extreme love of this world. There are certain things, before we go into that, there are certain things that one should love from this world. What are they?
That we should love from this world?
From this world. From the dunya.
I mean, there's permissible things you can love, like other...
I think we should love this world, but not as an end or a final destination in itself.
That's one way of looking at it, but I'm looking for something a bit deeper than that. That in which it is praiseworthy to love certain things in this world.
Perhaps that which can benefit a person.
In the Akhirah. So, for example, you should love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is obviously he was a human being from this world. In the same way, you should love your parents. And this would obviously lead you to do acts of obedience towards them and acts of piety towards them, righteousness towards them. In the same way, one should love things like the Mus'haf, the Qur'an. Okay, I'm talking about the physical book. What's the difference between Mus'haf and Qur'an?
Mus'haf is the script of the holy.
Exactly, the written down,
the holy.
Yeah, the physical book. Whereas Qur'an refers to something that is not with us. It's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should love the Mus'haf, we should love that. The Mus'haf is from this world. Of course it contains the speech of Allah, which is not from this world. It's an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also we should love things like the mosque, the masjid. We should love these kind of things. Are there any other examples you can think of?
I think we should love life as a test that gives us access to Al-Jannah, inshallah.
So anything that is praiseworthy, that leads a person to doing righteous acts, then one can love these things. Also loving one's children. This is from Rahmah. Something praiseworthy. It's from this world. Loving one's kith and kin, and so on and so forth. So there are certain things where, of this world, of this dunya, that one should love, praiseworthy love of this. Of course, if one begins to love these things, or some of these things, so there are the direct objects of worship, that, or rather the direct means of worship, things like the Mus'haf, you read it, it's an act of worship. You go to the masjid, it's an act of worship, and so on and so forth. But indirect objects, indirect means of worship, things like your children. Loving your children is a means of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it shows mercy and kindness. And these are the qualities, good qualities of a Muslim. So one should love his children. Loving parents, likewise. But if these indirect means of worship, they lead someone to excessiveness, such that it turns them away from Allah, or the remembrance of Allah, then that same love becomes blameworthy and worthy of being censured. So how do we cure an extreme greed or eagerness for wealth, or the extreme and absolute love of this world? Because this extremeness or excessiveness is a disease of the heart. And its root, the root cause of having an extreme greed or eagerness for wealth is the love of this world. And there are a number of remedies for this greed, lack of contentment, and extreme love of this world, which one can do to remove this excessiveness or excessive love of this world. The first thing is that man should be economical when he's dealing with his livelihood and financial needs. So he should be content with any available food, drink, and clothing. These are the things. For example, when one is economical with his wealth, in other words, he doesn't spend wealth that he doesn't have, for example, without a need, or without, you know, without knowing that he's going to be able to obtain the wealth. Or if he spends wealth in a way that is like, you know, madness. This is why Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, and do not give the sufaha your wealth. Do not give the sufaha your wealth. And why did he say that? Sufaha are the, you know, silly people, the people who just spend, you know, without thinking. Why did he say that?
Because no fruits.
There's no fruits, sure? Because it's haram to waste wealth. So one should be economical in the way he uses his wealth. And the Prophet
says, so you mean like, for example, when he's, I don't know, buying a car, he should buy a basic car as opposed to spending money on...
If he has the money to buy a good car, he is perfectly allowed for him to do that. Oh. But if it comes to a situation where he's struggling so hard to provide the basic needs for his family, for example, and then he spends money which he doesn't have, he borrows, for example, then this is excessive. This is not allowed in Islam. So if a person is economical with his wealth and he uses his wealth according to his means, then this is perfectly fine in Islam. But the Prophet ﷺ said that there are three things that save a person. Fear of Allah in public and in private. Secondly, being economical, whether a person is rich or poor. In other words, not wasting. In other words, using the wealth, you know, wisely. And thirdly, justice when pleased or angry. And this is narrated by Al-Bazzar. So, this hadith shows very clearly the first remedy of how to cure the love, extreme love of worldly life, being content with one's provision, and also being economical, because one follows from the other. If a person is economical, then he'll be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. If he's wise in the way he spends. Some people, they spend a lot of things on intangible goods, for example. Something that, if you ask them at the end of the year, what have you spent with all the wealth you've been given, they might not be able to recall that. Just spent lavishly. So it's good to be economical with one's wealth, and that leads to being content. The second remedy is that if he is provided with sufficient livelihood and wealth, then he shouldn't worry about the future. Instead, he has to be certain that the provision for the future will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is ar-Razzaq. He is the sustainer. So one of the qualities of a believer is that he has tawakkul in Allah. What is tawakkul in Allah?
Dependence, trust.
Dependence, trust and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if a person is affluent now at this moment in time, he has enough wealth to sustain him, or he's rich. In both cases, the second way of removing the love of this dunya is to have trust in Allah. Why is this the case?
Because provision comes from Allah.
Because provision comes from Allah. It leads us to a topic we're going to be studying in a couple of episodes, inshallah, which is miserliness, stinginess. Okay, when a person has extreme love of this world, of wealth for example, it leads him to being stingy, miserly. Now, one way to stop this love, this extreme love of this world, is to realize that, yes, I have money now, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to provide for the future. I don't have to worry about the future. So once a person has that, then inshallah this will stop his extreme love of this world, because he won't be trying to grab it greedily and so on and so forth. And also it will cure his disease of stinginess as well.
I think Allah said in the Quran, a verse, I think maybe if you can translate in my translation a bit rusty, وَمَنْ يَتَقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ.
Translate it.
It's better if you do it just in case.
Whoever has taqwa of Allah, fear of Allah, then Allah is enough for him, sufficient for him, and Allah will provide, give him his sustenance from wherever he wills, and wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever the person himself doesn't know it's going to come from. Inshallah, we're heading into a break now, and after the break, we'll have a look more at some of the cures of this extreme love of this world and wealth. Assalamu alaikum.
Ask God is a program which aims to answer your questions about your deen, your faith, your way of life. This course is Islam.
This is a totally different price, but I divided the payment over this period of time. And the seller is the person or the firm which owns the item which you're buying in this condition. This form of business transaction is love.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Before the break, we were looking at some of the cures for love or extreme love of this world. And we mentioned that one of these cures is that one should be economical. What did we mean by that?
Don't be excessive in your spending.
Don't be excessive?
The opposite of a spendthrift, to be moderate in your spending.
To be moderate in your spending according to your means.
Exactly.
And what else did it mean?
That if you haven't got this sufficient wealth, then
if you haven't got sufficient wealth to deal with your basic means, don't go and spend it on other things that you don't need.
In other words, to adapt your lifestyle to your income.
To your income. That's absolutely fantastic. And this will lead to being
content.
This will lead to being content. And when a person's content, then he can detach his heart away from this world. An important point that needs to be mentioned is that if a person has wealth, as we've already seen before, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But also if he has wealth that he himself is using upon himself in terms of pleasures, again, this is not necessarily a bad thing. As some of the scholars of the past said, have the dunya in your hand and don't keep it in your heart. And have the deen in your heart and don't keep it in your hand. What do you think is meant by that statement?
That you can have the dunya, but don't have it attached to your heart. So that if it comes, it goes, it doesn't really matter to you.
Exactly. So a person can, as you said, adapt according to his situation. He can have wealth from this world, but he shouldn't have an extreme attachment to it in his heart. In other words, don't have the dunya in his heart. Don't have this world and worldly pleasures in his heart, such that if a person loses that wealth, he's not craving for that wealth. He can adapt immediately. So it's like a catch-22. So he can adapt immediately. The second part of the statement is have the deen in your hand. In your heart and not in your hand. What did that mean?
Instead, have the attachment to the deen in your heart.
Yes.
Rather than that of the world.
And what does it mean by saying not, don't have it in
maybe
your
heart? Maybe that you don't appear to be so religious whereas inside you're not.
No, what it seems to mean, you had a comment?
I have another interpretation of the whole statement. I think the deen is in your, the Islam is in your heart. It means that it's the goal, it's your aim. While the dunya is in your hands, it's the tool to reach this aim. It's like the test that you have to pass in order to reach the Jannah.
That's one way of looking at it.
Maybe you could say also, if it's, as in if it's in your hand, it's not something firm and...
That's right.
Firm and so you don't lose your deen straight away.
That's right. So for example, when a person has his deen in his heart, it's attached to him, it's attached to his heart. But unfortunately, today we have the opposite. We have the dunya in our hearts. We're attached to the wealth of this world. But the deen is in our hands. We're playing with it. We're playing with the deen, with the religion in our hands. Tossing it up and down like this. You know, just playing with it. Like you would with a ball. But the opposite should be the case. We should have the deen in our hearts. So we should just play with the dunya. It's a tool. Just play with it. If it's there, we play with it. If it's not there, we don't play with it. We don't have it. We don't have any kind of attachment in our hearts to that. So the second thing that we mentioned was that if he was provided with enough wealth and sustenance in the current time, what should he do?
Put reliance upon Allah.
Put reliance on Allah about
the one who provides.
About
the future.
What does that mean? How does that help?
Because sustenance comes from Allah.
Because sustenance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person realizes that actually I'm not the one who bought this wealth. This wealth was given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the same way, Allah will provide in the future. Of course, He may increase or decrease the provision, but He will provide that which is sufficient for my needs. And whatever has been written down for me has been, or I will never die until all of that comes to me.
So would it be right for a person, for example, he has to pay his rent the following week, and he spends all his wealth and says, Allah will provide for me next week?
No. You have to tie your camel, as the Prophet ﷺ said, in a hadith, and then have trust in Allah. So a person should still work, for example, but at the same time, he should do the means what is in his hand. What's in his arm's length, he should do that. And then after that, rely on Allah. We're going to go and have a look at some comments from the people on the street now, and then we'll return back to this point, inshallah.
Basically, people love getting positions, having wealth, money, a lot of money, being social in the community, having a lot of friends, stuff like that. This is stuff people look for.
Okay, get closer to God. Because if you really get close to your religion, you'll know that this life is not permanent, it's not forever. Someday you're going to die, and someday you're going to meet your Creator. And He's going to punish you for loving this world more than loving Him.
I think that too many times people get encompassed into the actual simple pleasures of life and forget that, you know, we should really try to make some kind of meaning of our lives, try to focus on, yeah, there is, I'm not a devout Muslim, but I try to be, I try to increase my faith, and I try to think about what will happen once I die. And I think we should just focus on, you know, doing something that has some meaning and something that has, that'll bring us both joy and happiness.
I think, Annie, the main point, if you have in mind that the sustenance or your sustenance is just set before you even have been born, and that everything that comes to you comes from God, and you don't have to worry much in order to have things happen to you, then you'll lead this life just happily and easily, and you won't have so many difficulties, inshallah.
Very good. Another means of curing or removing the extreme love of wealth and this world from a person's heart is that he should be aware of the benefits of being content, and also the benefits of having the honor of independence. Okay, what does this mean? It means that when a person is, he is providing for himself, he has some kind of izzah, some honor. But when a person has the humiliation of begging, this is like the humiliation of materialism and greed. So if a person is not content, or he doesn't know the benefits of being content, then he will end up begging. And this is a humiliating thing. So one should try as hard as possible to live according to his means, be content with what he has, and then he will be able, he will be once, because he will be able to act or actualize the honor of being independent, and he won't have the problem of being of humility, of greed and materialism. The fourth remedy is that he should contemplate much about the life of ease that the disbelievers and the foolish enjoy, and then contemplate about the conditions of the prophets and the righteous people, and how content and patient they were. And this will encourage him to be content with his own provision, no matter how little it is, and not to be seduced by the enjoyment of the disbelievers and fools. And an example of this is very clear. Umar radiallahu anhu walked into the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was the size of a room. And in some narrations, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi would pray, he would touch me. Because that's how, when he'd go into sujood, he would be touching me. Because that's how small the room was. Umar radiallahu anhu walks into this room. And he looks around, and all he sees are two things. He sees a jug of water, and he sees a coarse mat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned, he was lying on this mat. And the mat was made of like these palm trees, if you like, and the bark. And he turned around, and all the mark of the mat showed on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's shoulder. So Umar radiallahu anhu began to cry. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "Why are you crying, O Umar?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, the emperors of Persia and Rome, look at, even though they commit shirk, look what riches that they have and wealth that they have. And you being the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, far greater than them in the sight of Allah, look what you have, you have nothing." And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was his attitude? He replied, "O Umar, are you not satisfied that for them is the life of this world and for us is the hereafter?" So this is the attitude of the true believer. And the Prophet ﷺ, of course, this was his attitude and the attitude of the Sahaba as well. But Umar radiallahu anhu was upset that this is how the Prophet ﷺ was. Now, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this in a hadith. He said, "Ad-dunya sijnul muslim wa jannatul kafir." The dunya, this world, is a prison for the believer, and it is a paradise for the unbeliever, for the disbeliever. Also, another remedy is that he should understand how dangerous about the dangerous effects of collecting wealth, as mentioned earlier, and think over the good rewards that the patient poor people receive. He should also be recommended, he's also recommended to look at those people who are poorer than him. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this in a hadith. He said, "Look at those who are below you and not those who are above you," in terms of wealth, in terms of dunya. For this is more befitting, so that you do not despise Allah's favor upon you. And this is a very important point here, that when a person looks at someone below him in wealth, then he begins to feel some kind of gratitude. Alhamdulillah, look how Allah blessed me. And if he looks at someone above him in wealth, someone richer and more affluent than him, then he will end up, he could, if he doesn't control himself, end up being envious of that person, wanting more, becoming greedy, and so on and so forth. And the opposite is the case with the deen, with the religion. When somebody looks at someone who is more pious than him, he should use him as a role model. So he looks at himself and says, hey, I'm nothing. I'm not worshipping Allah enough. I'm not as pious as I should be. And in the same way, he should do the opposite and not look at people below him in deen, in religion. Otherwise, if he looks at people below him in the religion, people are not as practicing as him as such, then he might begin to think to himself that, hey, I'm really, you know, he might get some kind of ghurur or self-conceit and ostentation that I'm so good. And what he should know is that that person who he thinks is worse than him in his religion might well be someone better than him. Asa in yakunu khayran minhum. That perhaps, Allah says, perhaps they are better than them. So one should bear this in mind, inshallah.
I guess the person, no matter what state he's in, there's always someone who's worse off than him.
There's always someone worse off than him in terms of the dunya, so he can look at someone poorer than him. And also in terms of the deen, there's always someone better than him, more religious, more practicing than him, who he can look up to. With this, inshallah, we'll conclude this episode. And inshallah, in the next episode, we'll look at another similar disease of the heart that is linked to the love of this world, and that is the disease of miserliness or stinginess. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum.